I can see me, but I don't know if anybody else can
see
me.
You wrote Mark Hamilton.
Yeah, I know. Oh, why did I write Mark Hamilton? So change it to Mark Tamalese.
A little bit like him, I think.
Sorry, Mark Tamalese. Why did I do that? I just wrote the first Mark with a C that came to my mind. All right.
Are you trying to get Andrew Visser?
Yeah. All right, let's start. And if we got him, we got him. Yeah. Okay, we're in the Gemara now. Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. You guys don't have a daf at the top, the number, so it starts with Shako Mitzuyin Etzla. There's a Mishnah. Ask him if he can see it. Okay, let's start. So the Mishnah. We are continuing now in Ben Sora Moreh. He's answering now. No, you don't have to do that. Sure. Andrew, can you see us on Facebook or no?
I'm just about to go onto it now.
Okay, it's better because then other people can see it too. Okay, so.
Assuming that it does, I don't know if I can set it up.
It looks like it's working. It looks like there's two people watching, actually.
Yeah, I've got
one person watching.
Yeah, I've got you. Well,
okay, good. Let's
Facebook
do it.
Live.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice. Oh,
yeah, let's see it. Oh, good. It says. Yeah. Okay, awesome.
That's not two, that's 200,000.
All right. Oh, we got and your wife is watching.
I wouldn't be surprised.
She is. A few people. All right, let's do it. Okay, we are in the 21st century. Masnisen. So the Mishnah says at the top of Ayin Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin, we're continuing in Parak Ben Sora Amoreh. It's a theme that we've been doing for the last few shiurim because I love this parak. So this is continuing with Ben Sora Amoreh. We're going to see some interesting things today. Not so much lamdos, not so much chakira. It's a lot of Gemara, and a lot of it has to do with alcohol, which is appropriate seeing it's the secular New Year's Eve. So the Mishnah says, Me'emetai chayav. At what point is the Ben Sora Amoreh chayav for being a Ben Sora Amoreh? Now, what's the primary thing that the Torah says about the Ben Sora Amoreh? Like, what has he done? What does he actually do, according to the Torah? Right, but the Torah doesn't describe his rebellion, right? Mm-hmm. It just calls him a Ben Sora Amoreh. What did he actually do?
Took food.
What?
Didn't he curse his parents?
I don't think it says he curses his parents, but he is a Zolel v'Soveh. He is gluttonous, right? So, now my wife says she's watching too. I don't know, how does she... All right.
When Facebook wants to advertise your feed,
is that what's happening? Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Any of my friends on Facebook.
All right. Let's do it. So maybe the chayav yishiyochal tartimar basar veyishte chatzi log yayin haitalki. So the Tanakama, the first Tana, says that we're interested in what he's eating. All right. That's the primary mechayev, really. There's other things around it, obviously, but that's the primary mechayev of the Ben Sora Amoreh. So if he eats a tartemar of basar, that's a shear of basar, and he drinks a half log of wine, it's also a shear of liquid, so he's going to be chayav. Now, what's a tartemar? It's a good question. Gemara is going to discuss it. So the second opinion, though, Rabbi Yossi omer mana basar v'log yayin, I just kind of blew it, but he says he has to eat a mana of basar and a full log of wine. Okay? So that's a machlokas about the exact shear of the Ben Sora Amoreh.
Is the idea that he's doing this against his parents' wishes?
He's not only doing it against his parents' wishes, how did he buy that food, is the question. He's bought it with his parents' money that he stole. Right? So, aval b'chab... Okay, so, Rabbi Yosef Ramana Basar v'lo Gayin. Next thing. Achal b'chaburat mitzvah, achal b'ibur achodesh, achal ma'asar sheni b'yushalayim, achal nevelo t'treif v'chkatzim r'masim. If the food was consisting of Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Now, Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, what does that mean? What happens to Maaser Sheni? What do we do with Maaser Sheni produce?
Are you supposed to redeem it for a fine?
So you either bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there, right? Your apples and your figs and whatever, or you redeem it on a coin and you bring the coin to Yerushalayim and you spend it on food there and eat it there. So we're talking about the latter case right now where you sold, you redeemed your produce and you brought it to Yerushalayim and you bought, and the boy bought meat over there. So he stole his parents' Maaser Sheni money and he took it to Yerushalayim. Or, and the upshot over there is that he's not going to be a Ben Sora Amoreh. That's going to be the point over here.
What more can he do?
So hold on. So if it's Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, he's not chayev. If he ate in a chabura of mitzvah, in other words, with a bunch of yeshiva guys, you know, we're doing a siyum on a masechta, then he's not going to be chayev Ben Sora Amoreh. If he ate in the meal where they do Ibra Chodesh, okay, they used to do Ibra Chodesh, And they would have a big big meal when they would do it, so that's also a mitzvah. So he would not be chayiv if he was doing that. If the meat that he ate was not even kosher, nevelo, trefo, shkatzim, remasim, also not a bensor amora. Now there's parentheses. Okay, what is the parentheses? Achal tevel maser rishon shel nitra shemato maser sheni v'hekdesh shel niftu. Why is that in parentheses? All right, if you don't guess it now, we'll figure it out later. Parentheses usually indicates that it's questionable whether or not it's in the Mishnah. Yeah. What's a reason why this would not be in the Mishnah? All right, we'll get back to it. We'll get back to it. Achal davar shehu mitzvah, but davar shehu avera. If you combined, right, he ate something that was a mitzvah and something that was an avera. Well, Chesko, if you're looking at Rashi, it's cheating.
No. Okay, no, good. I mean, tevel, if maser sheni, vadai maser sheni, is not going to make him chayav, then you'd think tevel.
This is maser sheni v'hekdesh shel niftu. That means actual produce of maser sheni or hekdesh. That hasn't been put, in other words, it's the apples.
I thought tevel was
Tevel is stuff that has not yet. Yeah, that's demai. Demai is suffix. Yeah. Tevel is definitely not had truma and meiser.
Yeah.
Right. Achal davar shu mitzvah, davar shu avera. If it's both a mitzvah and an avera, also achal kol ma'achal v'lo achal basar. If he ate anything, but he didn't eat meat at all, shata kol mashkev v'lo shata yayin. Ein onasa bensor amora. He doesn't become a bensor amora from that. So Zolel Vesove is the pasuk that's actually in the Ben Torah Morah, right? If you look on the side, I don't know if you guys have the psukim, the bet, or two, right? So that's the pasuk. Zolel Vesove. He doesn't listen to us, and he's a Zolel Vesove. He's gluttonous.
That's the source for all this.
Right. So, and they say, what is that? What does that mean? Yeah, but how do you know that means meat and wine? Zolov Sovei could be, you know, popping Pringles all the time. He could be drinking, you know, Coke by the truckload. Why does it have to be meat and wine? Because the pasuk in Navi that says Alti Vesov Eyayin Ubezole Basar Lamo. So Zolov Sovei has a connection to wine and meat. That's the Navi basically being mefarish, or Chazal using the Mishle, using Shlomo HaMelech to be mefarish the idea in the Torah.
But is the Sefer that wine and meat have a special status?
Definitely.
Meat is
covered. Definitely.
Wine and all that. So that's
definitely
the reason wine. Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. Before we continue, let's go back to those parentheses. Any ideas now why there are parentheses there? Why would anybody think that those should not be in the Mishnah? Mishnah is Mishnah. Mishnah is the same for Yerushalmi and Babli.
I thought at first there's all things you're not allowed to eat, but...
They are.
But that doesn't really explain why the Girsa wouldn't be the same.
So take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi on this Keta. Good luck. There's no Rashi on this Keta, which is a good indication that he didn't think that it was supposed to be in there. If you look at the source sheets that you have, right, the secondary source sheets. So let's take a look at the Yad Rama. Yad Rama, Rmer Abu Lafia, is an 11th century Rishon, Sfardi Rishon.
Where did he live? Spain?
Sfard. Yeah, somewhere in Spain. And you can tell because the first thing he says is, V'ranu b'miktzat chidushet Sarfat. Says, when you look at some of the Gemaras and the Mishnayos of the rabbis in Sarfat, that it says, Achal tevel maserishin shalinda trumato, that they had that, right? So their girsa actually had it, right? V'taut gdolahi b'sifrayim. And it's a big mistake. V'inan b'kol sefer sfarad. And look, you know, we don't have it by us. Rashi didn't either. Lo b'mishnah v'lo b'talmud. V'kol shken d'lo mishkachet la di'ib. Why? Why don't we have it? Di'ib basar lo tevel ika. V'lo maserishon ika.
Oh,
what are we looking for here? We're looking for meat and wine. Tevel is going to be fruit.
Yeah.
And fruit. So Tevel and Maser Rishon is just not relevant. Maser Sheni Yerushalayim makes sense because it's the money from Maser Sheni. That's why when it says Maser Sheni Shalom Yifdu, you're talking about fruit. Right? So then he says, but wait a second. There is a chink in my armor. There is a fruit that we could be talking about here, isn't there?
Grapes.
Could be the wine is hekdesh, or the wine is maaser sheni. No, it could be made from maaser sheni grapes. So he says, v'yibayayin hai achal shatami baile. He says, no, because the Mishnah says achal. Okay? Mishnah says achal. If you think it's about tvua, also it doesn't matter about sarviyah you need. So Yad Ramah says it shouldn't be there because we can't be talking about fruit. And if you tell me that we're talking about grapes and wine, says that's not valid because it says achal, it doesn't say shata. Now, the Rashash disagrees. The Rashash is a late Achron. He was, I think, a librarian or a businessman, I don't remember. So he actually says, he points out the Tosfos Yom Tov also takes it out, but he disagrees with the Yad Ramah. He says, on the second line, "Umishum halo ira de yesh lomer da kavana da hayayin sheshata haya tevel v'shtia bechlal achila v'shigar de lishni da hakod mimnakit." No, it says achal, but it's really shata. It's achal. He ate the wine. Okay. So according to the Rashash, he's able to be mekayim the girsa of the French rabbis. And another one is the Meiri, but he does it in a very different way. The Meiri says, Tevel u'maiserishon shalini d'shumato, v'tzono lomar shemachran v'achal me'en basar zeh, o maser perot shabasar bichlalan, v'chein maser sheni v'hekdesh shaliniftu. He says, no, you know what you did? It's the same thing as with the maser sheni. You sold that stuff, and then you went and you bought meat with it. Now, this is a big chiddush.
Yeah, I don't know you're allowed to do that.
You're not. But the point is over here, that this is a big chiddush. That means that you stole the tevel. That's what you stole. Right? Because the problem here is the stealing, really. Mm-hmm. You stole the tevel, and you used that money to buy the meat.
But that doesn't make the meat tevel.
No, it doesn't make the meat tevel, but it means the meat was bought with stolen money. So that's going to be not good enough. Okay? Not good enough. Machran v'achal mehen basar zeh, o masar perot, sha basar b'chalan, v'chin masar sheni v'hekdeh shalaniftu. Fine. Okay, good. Gemara. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Tartemar Ze in Yodamau. You know who else didn't know what a Tartemar was?
Rabbi Zeira.
Rabbi Zeira didn't know what a Tartemar was. So he says, what are we going to do? Elamitoch Shekafal Rabbi Yossi B'Yayim, Nimtza Kofil Af B'Basar, V'Nimtza Tartemar Chatzimana. But I can figure it out. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi doubled the shear of the wine. He went from a Chatzi Log to a Log. And Rabbi Yossi described the shear for the meat. It was a mana, which is a weight quantity. Right, so he said it must be that a tartemar is a half of a mana, because he doubled it. So a tartemar is a half a mana. Fine. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Mulda. Here we go. Amar Rav Hunayinu Chayev Achikach Basar Bezo. So we're gonna have a bunch of conditions about the meat now. So he says, first of all, it has to be Basar Bezo V'Yochol Yain Bezo. It has to be that he bought it for cheap. He bought cheap meat and cheap wine. If he bought expensive meat or expensive wine, not a ben sora amore. Why?
Why does that affect gluttony?
Why? Good question.
I thought the opposite.
Why? Why would you think the opposite?
Because it's more, first of all, he stole the money, so he'd have to steal more to buy more expensive meat and expensive wine, so it should be worse. Also, if you're a real glutton, you go and get the best stuff and you gobble it down.
Okay. What would you say for the other direction?
Why cheap?
He just wants to do the Avirah. He doesn't care how nice it is. He just wants to or whatever it takes.
Okay. If it's cheap, you can get more.
Okay.
If you've got a certain amount of money, if you stole 10 whatevers, you can buy more cheap meat and wine with an expensive meat and wine.
You can get more. More per shot.
More
all right.
Quantity.
So the Gemara is shying away. It says, there's a proof. Tichtiv zalav esove, because it has to be gluttonous. V'amar av chanan bar mulda, amar av huna, eno chayev ad shiochol. So what's going on? So it's Rashi that says it then. So he says on yayin bezol, aval b'yoker lo, lo shchichi le'maot lignov kule hayev lo mimshich. So Rashi says, one of the keys with the Ben Sora Amore is not just that he did something terrible. It's that he did something terrible which he's likely to continue to do. Right. He's going to get used to doing it. So he says, getting expensive meat and wine, that means he had to steal like
a lot of money.
And he's unlikely to continue to do that, at least at the beginning, and continue to serve his addiction.
It's one of the reasons why crack cocaine is so addictive, because it's so easy to get. It's
right. And for sure, if you were a smart drug dealer, so you would try cheap at the beginning.
Right.
and then only raise the prices later because then they're already addicted. But over here at this point, if you charge $100 per, I don't know, whatever, so nobody's going to buy it the first time, they're not going to become addicted. So that's why it has to be that it's bizul. That's the thinking over here, because he has to become addicted to it. That's what we're concerned with. Then it gives another condition. Rav Chanan bar Mulda amar Rav Huna eino chayav ad she'ochal basar chay v'yishli yayin chay. So basar chay means raw meat, right? And what's yayin chay? It means undiluted wine, right? Undiluted wine, because they used to carry it around. They used to carry like the dregs around, and then when they wanted to drink wine, so they would pour water in, and there was a certain shear, a certain way of diluting it. It was about 1 in 6, I think.
What was it, like a syrup?
I think it was more of a concentrate, but it might be a syrup. Mm-hmm. Might be. I don't know. So he claims that it has to be basar chay and yayin chay. Why would that be the case? Why would that matter?
Maybe it's not.
Because that's my regulation of gluttony, is just to eat raw.
I mean, if he's willing to do this. I see. Okay, fine. So the Gemara actually rejects this whole thing at first. It says, Ini. What does Ini mean? Rabbi, what does Ini mean? Aleph, Yud, Nun, Yud?
Yes. The other way.
Ini means, really? Because in, Aleph, Yud, Nun means, in Aramaic, means yes. But you add a Yud at the end of it, so it becomes a question. Ini, really? Yes? Is that really the case? Sorry. They say the exact opposite. If you eat it raw, then you're not a bensor amore. If you look at, does Rashi say for the second one? All right, we'll get back to it. But Amar Avina, what's going on? Yain chai mazig v'lo mazig, basar chai basho v'lo basho. Kebasar kiba da'achli ganve. Now, what are we talking about when we say that it has to be chai in order for him to become a bensor amore? It means it has to be kind of an in-between stage. It means that it's not diluted properly, but it is a little bit diluted so that it is at least edible. And the meat has to be somewhat cooked, but not fully cooked. And the hint is kebasar kiba da'achli ganve. It has to be kebasar kiba, the kind of meat, Rashi says kivya begichalim. Rashi says it's going to be cooked on coals, because that's the way that thieves cook their meat, because they want it to be cooked very quickly. What ends up happening is that it gets cooked on the outside, but not on the inside. It's raw in that sense. It's raw on the inside, but it's cooked on the outside, so because at least they can eat it. And the wine is diluted, but only slightly, because at that point, if it's only diluted slightly, first of all, it's faster. But there's another reason as well, is that over here, I'm trying to think. That's the basar, is the machal ben drusai. Does he say it over here? I think the reason over here is, if I remember correctly, is it on the sheet? I don't think so. There's also an element of who's drinking the wine, right? Who's drinking the wine? The kids are drinking the wine, right? What kind of wine do kids like?
Grape juice.
Sweet wine. So when it's only diluted a little bit, so then it's sweeter. So it's better for the kids. Although that might actually come up later. I may be jumping the gun on that. So hold on 1 second. Let's keep going. Okay. I think this is actually where it is. If you eat meat which is overly salted, or wine which is fresh from the press, ein nasa bensor amore. Right, so this is meat that has been, it's been out for too long in the salt, and wine which hasn't had yet time to ferment properly. The broadcast failed. Turned off.
Oh, no.
Let's try again.
Well, I got time limit.
Too many people are listening.
No, I think it's because, how do you do it?
I've done it across the network.
Live. No, I think it's just the reception, because it was saying low reception.
Are you on the Wi-Fi?
No, I was on
the TV. Okay, good. We're live again. Yeah, 200,000. This is what they're watching at their New Year's Eve parties.
Instead of what's his name?
Yeah,
Dick Clark.
So is he still alive?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Dachli ganvi dachli. Here we go. Matzah meliach v'shasayah megito yinasa b'tzor amora. Tnan. Okay, so that's megito and basar meliach. Why? Because they're not good. They don't taste good. And because they don't taste good, Rashi says, lo chashivi v'lo mamshich. It's not going to impress the kids. So it's got to be cheap enough for him to buy. It's got to be cooked fast and prepared quickly. And it's got to taste good. Because if it doesn't taste good, then he's not going to be drawn after it.
Fast food.
Yeah.
All right. Now, new Mishnah. Tanan Hatam. The Mishnah says, Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin v'lo lo yochal basar v'lo yishtei yayin. The Mishnah in Tanis that says that on Erev Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to, right, so the meal, right, the Suda Mafseket, cannot be with meat and cannot be with wine. Now, we don't have meat or wine for the 9 days leading up to it. But in the Mishnah, that wasn't the minhag yet. Mishnah, the minhag was only not to have it on the last day, on the day before. So they didn't have it on the day before. Lo yishtinayin. V'tana aval ochel hu basar melech v'shotayayin migito. But you're allowed to eat salted meat and freshly pressed wine. Basar melech ad kama. How much can it be melech such that you're allowed to eat it? Right? So if you want to be a way to be able to eat basar on Erev Tisha B'Av, so you've got to salt it a lot. How much do you have to salt it? I wonder if this is like almost like biltong or that's salted different. Meat? That's smoked. That's more dried.
That's
right?
It's not cooked at all.
It's dried.
It's dry. Okay. It's dried and salted.
So ad kama. How much does it have to be salted so that it's not even considered good enough? Amar b'chinina bar kahana kozman shehu kishlamim. Shlamim tastes really good. It's been properly salted, but not too much. So kishlamim. V'yayin migito ad kama. How close does it have to be? Kozman shehu toses. As long as it's still fermenting. Toses is fermenting. As long as it's still fermenting, it's not going to make you chayev. So the Gemara says, "V'hatanya." But wait a second, "Tanya yain toseis ein bo mishum gilui v'kama tnisato shloshe amin." Yain toseis, which is wine that is still fermenting, so you don't have to worry about gilui. What's gilui? What's yain gula?
Yain gula, it's left open.
Right, that's a bottle of wine which has been left open, right? And what are you concerned about with a bottle of wine that's been left open?
Snakes spitting inside.
Right. Snakes that spit inside inside the wine. So apparently when it's toseis though, you don't have to worry about that because they stay away from it, right? You don't have to worry about that because they stay away from it. It's because of that, right? Not because it gets ruined. Yeah, it will repel the snake. So you don't have to worry about that. And how long is that? 3 days. Fine. So 3 days. So now, returning to our point, hachamai, let's talk about how this applies to the Ben Torah Mori. Hatam mishum simchahu, kol zman shehu kishlamim, na mi'it be'simcha. Over there, by Tisha B'Av, so the meat, the reason why it's not okay to have meat on Erev Tisha B'Av is because it's going to make you happy. So the shear over there is whatever meat will make you happy is a problem. If the meat won't make you happy, then it's not a problem. But hacha mishum imshuchihu. But here the shear is a little bit different. Here the shear is what will draw you after, what will cause you to enjoy the meat such that you'll keep wanting to have more and more. Ubekol shehu lo mimshach. And he says, and therefore with that, mishar b'layla achat mafik ta'amo v'lo chashuv. If it stays salted even a little bit, this is talking about the meat, right? Not the wine, I believe. Even a small amount of time, it won't taste good. V'yayin ad mem yom, and wine won't taste good until it's at least 40 days old. So that means that if a ben Torah Mora eats meat that was salted for an entire night, even though you actually would be able to eat that on Erev Tisha B'Av, he would still not be a Ben Torah Mora for eating that meat. And wine, even if it's less than 40 days old, he would not be a Ben Torah Mora, even though it would you would not be allowed to have it on Erev Tisha B'Av. Okay. So Amar Rav Chanan, lo nivra yayin ba'olam ela lana. Okay, here's going to get into the next section.
So Amar Rav Chanan. There's two elements here. There's something up there. It has to be enjoyable, it has to be something that's moshech, that's going to make him want to carry on.
Yeah, that's basically it. It's all about the moshech. The enjoyable is really only a function of the moshech.
Moshech, okay.
Yeah. Okay, here comes Rav Chanan. Why do we have wine in the world? Rav Chanan says, "Lo nivra yayin ba'olam ela lenachem avelim ulishalim schar l'rishayim." The only reason why there's wine is to comfort mourners and to give reward to evil people.
So wine is there to comfort more.
Shnemar, tnu schar l'oved, v'yayin l'mari nefesh, give shechar, sorry, not schar, tnu shechar, that's beer, but alcoholic beverage. Give beer to those who are lost and wine to those who are sad. The Rishonim point out that basically what motivates this part of the Gemara, it's like after we've talked about wine and how bad it is, so why is there wine at all? So there must be a purpose to it. So this is the purpose. The purpose is either to comfort mourners or to give reward to evil people. Okay, so now we're going to look at a bunch of psukim from Mishlei and from Tehillim. Al tera yain ki et adam. Don't look at wine, it will make you red. Al tera yain shema adim pneihem shal rishayim ba'olam hazeh, umalbin pneihem lo'olam haba. Don't look at wine because it makes their faces red in this world, because that's the effect that wine has on people, and it makes their faces white in the next world. Why white? Because they become embarrassed of what they've done. Rava amar al tera yain ki et adam. He gives a different explanation. Al tera yain shachrito dam. You know what else happens when you drink wine? You can become violent, right? Makes me think of the Gemara in Megillah, where right after saying "Chayev Inish Lipsume Bepuraya," yeah, the very next thing is the story about Rabba and Rabbi Zeira, where Shachtei Rabba the Rabbi Zeira, where Rabba kills Rabbi Zeira after becoming drunk and then brings him back to life. And I think I was telling this to a few people before. I think I told you this recently, that I remember looking at that Gemara and then thinking to myself, "Wait a second, you know, I remembered something about Rabba." Rabba, the Gemara in Shabbos or in Kedushin somewhere, says that Rabba was wondering about something, because it's the Gemara about Ein Mazal Yisrael. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara says that even though Ein Mazal Yisrael, depending on what star you are born under, it affects your personality, right? Some kind of astrological connection. And it says if you're born under Mazal Madim, under Mars, then you're violent. That's what it says. It says you have a bloodlust. You have a bloodlust. So Rabba says, but I was born under Mars, and I don't have that. And this, you're a Moel. What do you mean? And that's the Gemara that says you can either be a Moel, or you can be a Shochet, or you can be a murderer. That's the Gemara that says that. So I was thinking to myself, oh no, this is it. Rabba says, this is what happens to Rabba when he drinks wine. Is he that part, side of him comes out uninhibited, the dam. And I thought that was a great sush, like that was fantastic. Yeah. And then it was right before Purim, and I was looking at one of my Sfarim on Purim, and I saw that in one of the Sfarim on Purim, I literally underlined the Chassam Sofer saying this. I literally had underlined it, put an asterisk next to it, I liked it, and then the very next year I forgot and said it over as myself. So that's what this means. Alter Yain Shachritot Dam. Rav Kahana Rami, so what is Rav Kahana Rami Chdiv? So Rami is short for Raminhu, which is a kind of question. What kind of question is Rami? Yeah. From the same source, right? So it's a contradiction between two of the same source here. It's two psukim. Rami chdiv tirosh. It's not really a contradiction here between two psukim. I don't know why they use this phrase. But it says tirash v'karinon tirosh. The word is written without a vav, which should be read tirash. But we read it as tirosh. So the Gemara says, zacha na'ase rosh, lo zacha na'ase rash. What's a rash? It's a poor person, a poverty-stricken person. Dal v'rash. So if you're zocha, so this is the first one where we've seen that there's actually some kind of balancing act. Rava says that if you're zocha to drink and you drink wine and you're zocha, so then you'll become a rosh, tirosh. But if you're not, then you'll become a rash. So here Rava is presenting at least the idea that there is a good way to do it, and a not good way to do it, or that it's whatever's in you. Rashi says, klomar im zacha v'yadali hizaher ba'atzmo. That's what Rashi says. He says, if you can be careful, milishtot yotu midai, misamcho shimbefakeach et halev, that it opens your heart. Now, what does that mean? So right afterwards, let's keep going. Rava, Rami Chtiv, you pointed out another one. Now, this is very strange, okay? I have to tell you, it's very strange. The Gemara says, Yisamach. Now, this is a pasuk. You can see it on the side. V'yayin yisamach levavanosh, right? Pretty clear how to read that pasuk and how to read it, right? But the Gemara is assuming that yisamach is really yishamach with a shin. Or at least it's considering the idea that it could be either one, because it's written with a shin, you don't know where the dot is.
Would be yishamach.
Good. So it says yishamach v'karinan yisamach. Zacha misamcho, lo zacha mishamimehu. The Gemara, you have to go a further step here. The Gemara is assuming that a hey and a chet are interchangeable, because they have a very similar, they show very similar. Or at least in this pasuk, yisamach could be read as yishamah, shmama, destruction. So if you're zocha, you'll be happy. If you're not, then you'll destroy yourself. This point is, Rava says that smelling good things and drinking good wine can make you wise. So, David, this is what we're talking about. Maybe we should have had the whiskey beforehand, just had it in good quantity. Because apparently, sometimes alcohol can make you wise. Now, I did a quick Google search this afternoon about the effect of alcohol on intelligence. There are studies that have shown in Japan and somewhere else, I forget, that in some situations it can raise your IQ. What does that mean? It means that people who drink a certain amount of alcohol have a higher IQ. However, there was a strong correlation between people who drink sake in Japan and people who eat fish. And fish has been shown, even though I don't like fish, has been shown to have an effect on intelligence. So we don't know whether it's because they drink or because they eat fish. And furthermore, it could also be that people who drink alcohol tend to socialize more with the alcohol, and it could be that that socialization actually also has an effect on their intelligence. So there's no proof whatsoever that alcohol itself can improve your intelligence, although I did have one Rebbe in yeshiva, who was a Rambam in a different yeshiva, who said that, you know, he and all of his Rebbeim, whenever they sit down to learn Gemara, they always have a shot of whiskey beforehand, and it clears their mind. I don't know what that means, because that's not been my experience with my limited experience with whiskey, but it could be that for some people that is the case.
I've definitely heard that with Hasidus. Hasidim was
but that's because they all came from Russia and they needed it to survive.
also because when you're learning Hasidut, you need
to keep warm, maybe. Because in Russia it's freezing cold in the middle of.
Exactly. I think that's actually quite a good chiluk for learning Hasidus.
but
of whiskey, but alcohol is good. For learning Gemara, I don't think it helps much.
Well, Rava said. It's interesting. Rava says both smelling something and drinking something is really good. I actually put.
If you're learning something very technical and halachic, then you need to be clear. If you're learning something that's more esoteric and creative
If I put on the sheet, we're going to get back to this Torah Chaim. It's an awesome Torah Chaim. We're going to get back to it in a minute. But take a look at the sheet, the last two sources. So you have Rashi over here in Yuma. A parallel Gemara says, Zacha lishtot lefimida na'ase roshim v'fakeach li baba chachma. So it's clear from Rashi that it's not about, you know, who you were beforehand, it's if you drank it properly. And if you look at the bottom...
It's for the lay, because...
Yeah.
Medically, people say with red wine.
Oh, for sure. Except lave often is usually associated with wisdom, lave.
No.
In Tanakh, for sure.
People that have gout can't drink red wine, they can only drink rosé.
Right, there's people who have blood clots, and it could be that it helps the blood circulation, maybe to the brain, I don't know. But studies have not shown this.
My dad got a problem with gout, and he can only drink rosé.
Good. It gives you courage.
It gives you courage.
It's good to go into the shiur with a little bit of courage.
Especially if you're a bit bashan,
That's an interesting. It's an interesting take. If you look on the bottom of the sheet, I just put this in for fun. So there's a tosas in Beitza, and it's nothing to do with wine. Actually, it has to do with the other thing Rabbi said. Rabbi said, "Chama verechani," which is smell, right? So I don't think he's talking about the snuff that David gives out on Yom Kippur, but he's talking about the besamim. He's talking about besamim, something that smells nice, a nice aroma.
Motzei Shabbat, is it?
Yes, the besamim I'm here talking about the besamim that we have on Motzei Shabbat. This is a Tosfos in Beitza who wonders, what do you do? Do you have besamim on Motzei Shabbat that goes into Yom Tov?
Yachnahans.
So, do we have samim that goes into Motzei Shabbat?
No, I don't think we do.
So he says, "Ein lefarish mevarchen abesamim Motzei Shabbat." We do. Mishum nefesh yitera she'avad. So, why would we do that though? Why do we have besamim on Motzei Shabbat? What's the reason? The classically is because you have a neshama yisera, you have an extra soul, and when you lose it, it's like almost like dying. So you want to kind of like arouse yourself with the smell. Yeah. So he said, what about on that goes into Yom Tov though? So what are you going to say? So he says, we don't need it on Motzei Shabbat that falls on a Yom Tov. Because on Yom Tov we have a Neshama Yetera, so we don't lose it. So he says, but you can't say that. If that were the case, then every Pesach and every Sukkot and every Shavuos, Motzei Yom Tov, we would use B'Samah, but we don't. V'ilei kahani tameh. So imkain my time the mavarech and b'samim motzei Shabbos. But if it's not, then why do we on a regular motzei Shabbos? Why do we have b'samim? Yeshlamer de lolam time the mavarechin and b'samim motzei Shabbos having mishum neshami yitera. It is ubiyom tov leik and neshami yisera. We actually do not have a neshami yisera in yom tov. V'im tomar amay lo mavarechin and b'samim kshachal yom tov liot motzei Shabbos. So then why don't we do it? Kevin the yeshlam achalim chashuvim v'tovim yashiv da'atom yimela b'loarach b'samim. So you have an alternative on yom tov. Because that night you're going to have a good meal. So the good meal is going to bring your neshama back to life. Something. Right. But you don't have a neshama. This is Tosfos assuming that there is no neshama yisera on Yom Tov, which is a machlokas rishonim. Strange as that sounds. But according to Tosfos, you do not have a neshama yisera on Yom Tov. And according to, I think, the Ramban, maybe others, you do have a neshama yisera on Yom Tov. There's a different explanation over there. But it connects a little bit to this Rav.
So we don't say b'samim.
No. All right. So that was Yisamach, Yishamach, Rava. Okay, Amar of Amram. Amar of Amram, Braid Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, Amar of Chanina. My dichtiv, Lemi oi, Ulemi avoi, Lemi medanim, Lemi siach, Lemi psaim chinam, Lemi chachlilot einaim. I'll read that in English so that we can get a clear understanding of the, at least for the, oh, Lemachrim alayayin lebayim lachkor mimasach. Who cries, woe? Who cries, alas? Right? Oy vavoy. Who has quarrels? Who has pain? Who has groundless wounds? Who has red eyes? Those who linger around the wine, those who ask after good wine. All right? Basically, it's saying those who says, oy vavoy, people who run after wine. And they have red eyes and all these bad things. So, so he says, what does this mean? So, ki atar avdimi amar ami b'marav. You know what they say in the West? West is Israel. Hai kra man de darish le mireshe le seife, midarish umisef midrish, umisef ilireshe midrish. You can read it forwards and you can read it backwards. What does that mean? No. Darish, so what does that mean?
It's either you get those things from drinking wine or you get wine. Either you can get to, you can, either people have those things like drinking wine, or if you drink a lot of wine, you're going to get to those things.
Now, no? Either those who drink wine, it leads to those things. Right. Or those who have those things should
drink wine.
Drink wine.
To resolve the issue.
Oh, should drink wine.
Should drink wine. Take a look at Rashi. That's one.
Which one causes which one? Lemi kol eila, lemachrim al hayayin, lebayim lachor, lemasach shokan lehechan hayayin atov, hamusach
babesem mekmo meskhin. Yishodir yafe, bahachi kamar, lemi sheyesh lo oy bavoy, v'siach, dahinu avelim, ulmi sheyesh lo medanim u'psaim, people who are sad or people who have blood coming out of their body, they're in pain. Dahinu rasha nilcham im habriot, ulmi sheyesh lo chalilot enayim, merov shmuno, ushkitato. Okay? Those are the people who should have wine. Okay? So that's an interesting thing. We're going to get back to that. And here's another interesting drasha. Darish uver glila, no idea who that is. Yud gimel vavin nemru b'yayin. There are 13 vavs by wine in a certain parasha, in the parasha of Noach. Take a look. Vayachal Noach, who's going to keep count? Who's going to keep count? Rabbi, you can count?
Yeah.
Vayachal Noach ish ha'adama, vayita kerem, vayesh t'mina yayin, vayishkar, vayitgal betoch alo, vayarcham avikna'an et ervat aviv, vayaged l'shnei achav b'chutz, vayikach shem vayefet et asimla, vayesimu al shchem shnehem, vayelchu archarnit, vayichasu et ervat aviyem, upnehem vayikatz, Noach mieno vayeda et asher salo b'no hakatan. How many did you count?
I counted more, but you're just counting the beginning vavs, but not all the vavs in the words.
No, only the beginning vavs.
Oh, okay.
How many did you get? How many did you get?
I didn't count.
Should we do it again? Should we do it again?
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Tell me it's not 13.
Vayachel Noach isha adama.
The ood, does that count as a vav?
Count all the vavs. Vayachal Noach isha adama, vayita kerem, vayesh t'minayen, vayishkar, vayitgal, betocha alo, vayar cham aviknan et ervat aviv, vayaged l'shnei achav b'chutz, vayikach shem, vayafet et asimla, vayasimu al shchem shneem, vayelchu acharanit, vayichasu et ervat aviyam, upneem, vayikatz Noach mieno, vayeda et asher asalo b'no akata.
14.
14, right? 14? 13. Mark, how many do you have?
I got 13 if you exclude VFS and you exclude VFS.
Okay, so take a look at the Tosos. Take a look at the second Tosos on the Daf. Yud Gimel Vavin. What does he say? It's just a shame. It's not. We're only counting the verbs. We're only counting the verbs. Did you count Upnehem though? Because that's a problem.
Right.
So Upnehem is not a verb. Did you count Upnehem?
I
did. You did. And you so that gets to 13. So that's a little bit of a question. But they keep out Vyeft. Vyefet.
Okay.
What? Oh, Ve'erivat Vyam also gets counted. Yeah. Yeah.
If you just count the verbs, you get to.
No, because upneihem and...
Just the verbs.
But
upneihem and their...
It's not, so but you get the 13, including upneihem.
There's no pencils, so it's going
to be... No, it's okay, we don't have to.
Vayita, vayesht, vayishkar, vayitgar, vayar, vayaged, vayikach, vayasimu, vayelchu, Vayichasu, Vayikatz, Vayedach. 13.
Yeah. 13 with just the verbs. So you have to skip out Upneihem and Vyefet.
Yeah.
Vavin. One of Judges' camp song. She was made of Vav. So the camp song was Summer Vavin.
Was what?
Summer Vavin. Like Summer Loving. Summer Vavin. Summer Vavin.
Summer
Vavin. Summer Vavin. Summer Vavin. Made of Vav. Camp Stone.
Okay, so let's see. So Yud Gimel Vavin. Okay, Shkoyach.
Summer Vavin.
Shkoyach, there are 13 Vavs in these Psukim. New?
We got 12, man.
So what?
Oh, I got 13. Got it.
What's the...
Oh, there's actually one more. Uchtif Hatam Vayarot Hashchem Ben Chamor. Oh, maybe that's after. Does that one count? I think that one doesn't count. Hold on. Or is that from a previous one? Vayarot Hashchem.
But so what?
I don't know. That's the next part. Right. That's exactly the point. So what? So Rabbi Shmuel, so you know what? So before we get in there, let's find out so what. All right. Turn to the page. This is a beautiful Torah Chaim. Ready? Torah Chaim.
When did you learn?
16th century.
Spain.
Don't remember. I wrote it down and I can't remember now. All right. Let's take a look. He usually is on the Agadic portions, also on the Halachic portions, but he's like kind of like the Marsha. He gives you a lot of good stuff. So, Torah Chaim. Lo nivir yayin ba'olam, perish ba'olam hazeh, elo l'nachem avelim. Ksat kasha, amai lo kamar stama, lo nivir yayin, elo l'nachem avelim. Why mention the Rishayim? V'nir lefisha scharan shal tzadikim l'olam haba, nimshal l'yayin. So we have a concept that scharan olam haba is compared to wine. Where do we see that? Kedamina beperek ein omdin. The Gemara in Brachos, it says, about the reward in olam haba. It's described by Yeshayahu as Ein lo ra'ata Elohim zulatecha. Nobody has seen the schar of olam haba. So it says ze yayin hamshumar banavav misheshet er meibereshet. What does that mean? Midrashically, it means that wine has been set aside from the time of bereshit, and that's where you're going to drink in olam haba. Okay, it's
the most
corporeal.
Possible wine.
Yeah, that's right. It's a little corporeal for the Rambam's taste. But that's what the Gemara says. So wine is apparently very, very deeply connected to reward. The kevin the schar ruchani shal mitzvot nimshal yayin ruchani gam et zelu matzel asa Elohim l'shalem l'shayim ba'olam hazeh schar ma'at mitzvot shosin b'yayin gashmi kedei lahavidan min olam haba. Because what's waiting for us in olam haba is spiritual wine, what's waiting for whoever gets their reward in this world is physical wine. It kind of reminds me, I've given this talk before about how sometimes the Shlach Kadosh writes that there's sometimes when the Torah describes things in a physical manner and it really means a spiritual thing, and he says it can be confusing, like when the Torah describes God's hand, right? What does it mean for God to have a hand? So you can easily just say it's just, you know, mashal. But the Shlach says, no, you don't understand. God has a hand. God has a hand, but God's hand is the real hand. Our hand is just a pale
physical manifestation
of God's hand. Now, what is handhood?
Yeah,
it could be that handhood is really control. Yeah, it could be control. Right? That could just be it's some kind of concept, or it could be something else that we just don't understand. We know what our hand looks like, but that doesn't mean you know what God's hand looks like. But who said that God's hand is just a metaphor for our hand? Maybe our hand is the metaphor for God's hand.
It works well with the tefillin.
Yeah, it works well with a lot of things. It's an easy out. So it's similar to this. In other words, the real wine is the wine that's Meshumar L'Olam Haba. The wine we have on earth is just a pale
analog
of that wine. And it's given to people in this world because that's what's given to them in that world.
So it's saying it's giving to them in this world so they can get a sort of a feeding of taste? Or is it saying you're getting it in this world so you're not going to get it in the next world?
That's exactly it. V'hainu d'nakat, 100%. V'hainu d'nakat lo nivra yayin ba'olam hazeh afuke yayin sh'olam haba ha'meshumar tzadikin. He says this is what it means when it says in Vayetchanan, v'yada'ata ki Hashem elokecha ha'el ha'ne'eman shomer ha'brit v'ha'chesed lo'havav Umishalem the son of El Panav the Havido. He rewards those who keep the brit, and he pays those who hate him in their face to get rid of them. In other words, he pays them to get out. I'm going to give you. You want your reward? I'll give you a reward. Remez shuyit barach mishalem the tzaddikim mitzchara no olam haba b'yayin mishumar v'zeu shamar shomer brit v'chesed lo avav aval rishayim mishayim tzchara no olam hazeh b'yayin gashmi shemadim bo pneihem, it reddens their face k'damar b'samach v'zeu shomer mishalem tzonav el panav remez liyayin shemadim pneihem k'dei l'havido min olam haba.
Why do bad things happen to good people and good things happen to good
people? Well, more for the good things happen to bad people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now look at the next paragraph. The cave and the schar mitzvot yayin hu orechani ugashmi. Look, the reward for mitzvot is going to be wine. Wine in this world or wine in the next world. Nira dahainu mashinamru mispar shloshasre vavin. This is connected to the 13 vavin. Gabi yayin kedamru besamach. Lefisha schar shalom haba nichla b'mispar shloshasar. The reward in the next world has to do with 13. Kita ashkechan gabi rabbi Eliezer ben Pedat. Tleser nahare demashchi. Okay, through this, I don't know what this part means, so skip past it to the bold parts. It says, "Vahenu kiminyan ahaba, umispar shloshes midot shel rachamim." That's the other 13 we have. The yugivu midot shel rachamim, the harishayim shemachlif in olam haumed ba'olam haover, v'tanu gyayin gashmi umhapchin shloshes midot shel rachamim. The roges lekach neafach lehen tovatan leolam. So they flip around the 13 midot rachamim, and they end up with basically.
You're getting it all in this world, not
yet. Yeah. Right? That pasuk that we said, he's going all the way back to the beginning when it says, why does wine exist? What's the pasuk? Oved. Is for the purpose of 13.
Okay.
And not for those who's lost.
The Shlosh Shem Midot, where does it come from? Where is the
Shlosh Shem Midot? Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem, we say it every time it's Tibor. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rechem, Bechanu, Ne Rechem, Bein, Bev Chesed, Rehem. Yeah. Not the 13 Drashot, Midot Drashot.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay, let's keep going.
Just going back to red eyes,
right?
That's something I never understood in the Brachot of Yaakov, where it says white teeth and red eyes.
That they would have wine.
But it sounds like a bad thing, right? It says your teeth will be white with milk. That sounds good, okay? That sounds healthy teeth, but you know, your eyes will be red from wine.
Right.
Doesn't sound like such a good.
Right. I hear you. Well, there it means you'll have these things in your nachala.
You'll have that in quantity in it, but it sounds right. It sounds like you have so much wine, your eyes will be red, but it doesn't sound positive.
Right, no, it doesn't.
The other thing that I always thought was very spiritual about wine, it actually works better with whiskey, is how long it takes for it's called in psychology putting off reward, right? To get good wine or good whiskey, it takes time. It's got to wait, it's got to sit, it's got to mature,
I think Rava captures it with. There's a balance there that has to be.
It symbolizes nothing good comes instantly. You got to work at it.
It's a way of gratification.
If you turn over the source sheet, so there's one more. There's a Maharsha that I wanted to look back over here, which is also really really nice. This is on that last thing that we saw where the psukim get flipped around. It says you can read it this way or you can read it that way. So the Maharsha says it's beautiful. He says Mireish li sefer midrash. What's the lomar? Hani lishonot midrashi lemi oi lemi avoy lemi siach shetzoek al gimel mino tzarot. So there are three kinds of tzarot, and there's three languages of woe. Right? There's oi, avoy, and siach. I don't know what siach is, but those are the three. Oi al keev rosho kshesho yoter midai. You can have an oi if you drink too much. It's a hangover. Vabet. This is, by the way, when you read it forward, right? Read the pasuk going forward, meaning who says these things? Those who run after wine. Vabet avoy al ivud mamono bekanato ayin. You bought too much wine. You spend all your money on alcohol. Vavoy. Hagimel siach chutzar shemitzar al ibud zmano. Wasted your time. V'yamar lemi b'sayim chinam deshar kol adam gam im yavolo petza mi'adam acher hamaziko einam chinam shemeshalam lo hamazik aval ze yesh lo b'sayim chinam sheino yodea b'shichruto. Most people, they end up black and blue, or they end up with bruises. They know who to sue, but you wake up after a bender and you've got all kinds of bruises on your body. You have no idea what happened. You wake up, you have no idea what happened. You're like confused. And this can be, you know, you wake up with a hangover. You have no idea what happened the night before. People are looking at you funny. You've lost your job. And you don't even know how it happened. אבל יש לו בסיים חינם שאינו יודע בשחילותו ממי בא לו הפצע שהשתלם ממנו ואפשר הוא היה גורם או שעל ידי נפילה באת לו הפצע. You don't know what happened. So that's when you read it forward. ומאן דדרש מסייפה לרשי, הכי כמר, if you read it backwards, למי שיש לו אוי בגימל יומים ראשונים באבילות. Talking about somebody who was in the first 3 days of אבילות. למי שיש לו אבוי בשבע ימים של אבילות. ושיש לו שיח בשלושים ימי אבילות. Okay, all אבילות. ולמי שיש לו צער, שיש לו פצעים חינם, or somebody who has, he doesn't know, you know, he acquired wounds, but he has no way to get rid of them. ולמי שיש לו בחייה וצער, שעל ידי זה חכלי לעיניים, or if you've been crying, so your eyes are red from crying. וכל אלה לבקוחי צערי וראו להיות מאחרים על היין. Those are the people who should go for the wine. So, by the way, a thought occurred to me that was just fascinating to me. I plan on saying this probably, or just developing this at some point. It's just striking that Tisha B'Av, right, and the 9 days are all based on Avelus, right? Right, it's Tisha B'Av, the 9 days are almost, you know, all the halachot of Avelut are what applies. Yeah. They're sitting low, there's Sheilat Shalom, you're not allowed to do. Mm-hmm. Except that not only on Tisha B'Av, but also during the 9 days, our minhag is, and certainly on Erev Tisha B'Av in the Gemara, is that we don't drink wine, right? But during Avelut, not only are you allowed to drink wine, but apparently
sounds like it's a good
you're supposed to drink wine. You're supposed to drink wine and cheer yourself up. Apparently, on Tisha B'Av, we're not supposed to cheer ourselves up. That's a big difference between the Avelut, Avelut Chadasha and Avelut Yashana.
Could that be more because, again, it's back to the connection with the Chorban.
We're meant to wallow in it.
But specifically, the use of wine in the Beit HaMikdash.
Oh, you're saying we won't drink wine because we don't have the Beit HaMikdash anymore?
Yeah. Is that a siman? Is it a siman?
Could be.
It's not a siman avilut, right?
It's a good question. No, it's not a siman. That's what I'm saying. It can't be. It's not a siman avilut because avilim are allowed to eat meat and drink wine. So either what you're saying, what you're saying is good, that we're like intensifying the mourning of the Beit HaMikdash by not indulging in the things that we used to do in the Beit HaMikdash. But what I'm suggesting is that perhaps because wine and meat tend to make us happy, we dafka want to make sure that we're wallowing in that sadness.
Yeah, but we want to wallow in the sadness of a lost relative.
You don't. You don't want to wallow in the sadness of a lost relative.
We want to, in a healthy way, we want to deal with the situation. I mean, yeah, we don't want to make it worse.
This may be the healthy way of doing it.
Right, so I'm saying that whatever we want to apply to losing a relative, we also want to apply, I would think we would.
What I'm saying is we don't. That's my chiddush. That's the chiddush over here. That's the point, is that you would have thought that, okay, we're treating the mourning for the Beit HaMikdash like we treat a mourning for a lost relative. No. A lost relative, you try your best to get over it. Probably because...
But you're not trying your best to get over
it. But I'm saying probably because we naturally feel sad about a lost relative. Right. So that
I agree.
So
it's
not like you need to struggle to feel sad. Mm. So the wine is there. It says wine is there. L'nachem abelim. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. But with regards to the Beit HaMikdash, we want to try our best.
Naturally,
to,
we have
not
to make sure that
wine makes us feel sad, and we can't have it. Therefore,
yeah. But I think I completely different things. I think the purpose of feeling sad, after you lose a relative, is to go the process to make you feel better.
Right.
That's why you do things to make you feel better. The purpose of feeling sad
for the churban habayit is not to get over it, make you feel better. Right. It's supposed to feel sad. And why? Because when you lose a relative, God forbid,
there's nothing to change.
You did anything wrong.
Right.
You did anything wrong. You lost your relative, right? Yeah. And still you want to get over it. It's not your fault. Yeah. Whereas losing the churban, you could say, was our fault. We deserve to feel sad because we did something wrong that made us lose the churban.
Yeah.
Made us lose the bayit. So we shouldn't be trying to feel better. We should be trying to feel better.
I'll tell you something else that's very, very interesting. David HaMelech, so he had a child before Shlomo with Bathsheba. Yeah. He had a child that died. The baby died like very, very early. And the way that the Navi describes it is just really fascinating. Basically, baby gets sick and David is not eating and he's not drinking and he's not sleeping and he's basically beside himself while the baby is alive. Then they're afraid to tell him when the baby dies because they think, like, you know, what's he going to do now if he finds out the baby dies? But he can tell because they're not telling him. He can tell that the baby has died, and he immediately gets up and starts eating and drinking and everything. They say to him, like, what's the deal? Like, you know, you were so sad when he was sick, but now he's dead. Why aren't you sad? He said, because, look, as long as he was alive, there was something I could do. Yeah. But now that he's not, there's nothing for me to do. So I get on with my life. So it almost feels like, so for Tisha B'Av, in the 9 days, we wallow in it. We're trying to change things. Yeah. We're not trying to get over it.
Yeah.
As opposed to Avelud, it's not the same thing. You're trying to get over, you're naturally sad, so you're trying to get over it. The purpose of it is to kind of
go through that process. What I never understood about that is that he knows the baby's going to die. He was told the baby, it's a punishment for what he did.
Yes,
right?
But he still tries.
So he still tries to.
Still tries. Maybe, you know what, like maybe that's... You know, Chizkiah is told by Elisha, which one of them? I always forget. I always mix them up. Chizkiah is told by his Navi that he's going to die because he hasn't had a child. Remember this story, because he hasn't tried to have a child. Chizkiah says, that's because I saw in Ruach HaKodesh that the child that I'm going to have, my descendant, is going to be Menashe. He's going to be a terrible king. He's going to do Avodah Zarah and everything. So the Navi says, this is none of your business. You're supposed to do the mitzvahs. So Chizkiah says, fine, so how about this? You give me your daughter, and I'll have a child with her, because maybe, you know, between me and you, we can, you know, get around this. So the Navi says, no, it's too late. You're going to die. It's too late. Chizkiah responds, I learned from Beit Abba that Al Titiyash Min HaPeronot, Afilo Cherev Chad HaMunachet Al Tzavarecha, Al Titiyash Min HaPeronot. It's never too late. It's never too late. Now, who did he learn that from? So he says, Beit Avi Abba. That's basically David HaMelech. So I don't know if it's referring specifically to that story,
yeah.
But it very well could be.
It fits well.
Okay. So, a little bit more. Oh, so okay. So this is going to be well known, but a little bit uncomfortable and graphic. So we have to get through the story of Noach. So this is the source, right? There may be other sources, but here it is. Rav Ushmuel b'machlokas. Chad amar serso v'chad amar rivao. One of them said that he castrated him, that Cham castrated Noach, and one said that rivao, that he sodomized him. From stone. Manda amar serso mitoch shakil kilo b'revit. Why would you say that he castrated him? Because what would it mean that he castrated him? So it would mean that Cham, who has already 3 children, right? It would mean that Noach has been prevented from having any more children. This is his. He's not able to have any more if he's castrated. And then what did Noach do? He cursed Cham's fourth child, Knaan. That's who he cursed. His fourth child. Kilobirvi Madamar Vao Gamar Vayar Vayar Ktivacha Vayar Khamaviknan etervatavivchtitatam Vayar Otam Shem ben Chamor. So where did the one who says that he just saw the one that says he sodomized him, that he actually did something? So he says because Noach saw what he had done. Now if he hadn't done anything, then
there's nothing to see.
All right. So we understand if he was Masares him, so then that's why he cursed Cham's fourth son. Why did he curse Knaan? He should have just cursed Cham himself. Why did he do that? No, that opinion says both. Now, what's interesting is if you look at Tosos, Kiloberevi, look at this, this is an interesting Tosos. Kiloberevi, Mashalo Kilo Cham Atzmo, the reason why he didn't curse Cham himself. Sorry, that opinion says, why didn't he curse Cham's first son? Cham's first son as opposed to his fourth son. So Tosos wonders, why didn't he curse Cham himself? Why didn't Noach just curse Cham himself? Which is a great question. Like, I mean, like, it's hard to read the Psukim. Like, why is he cursing Cham? What did Cham do? Cham didn't do anything. Why not Cham? Because he couldn't. He had a force field around him. He had a bracha force field around him from God, so he couldn't curse Cham. So he had to curse his son.
So
if he doesn't deserve it, he doesn't deserve it.
Okay, fine. That's different. Yeah, okay, that's the definition.
We haven't explained why he deserves it.
Why can I deserve it?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa, the Afrikaners Church, used this as a justification for the downtroddenness of the blacks, because they said that Cham was black.
Yeah, for a long time. That's standard
South African invention.
Christian thought.
This idea that Hashem's blessed something, therefore you can't curse it.
It's interesting.
I think it has something about Shabbat, right? That after Hashem blessed Shabbos, right? Then Adam came along and made us have to work in order to...
Ah, I see. So the curse could not go on Shabbos.
The curse can't apply on Shabbos.
That's very interesting.
You know, when we incur expenses, you know, there's a limit as to how much money we're going to make each year, but it doesn't apply to Shabbos.
Fascinating.
That's very good.
Very interesting.
But along the same sort of line.
Wow. Mm. That's nice. Yeah. You know where you saw that?
Years ago.
That's really nice. I like that.
That's right. I'm trying to
I remember seeing a documentary on Charedim. And it was talking about Haredim working in the future of the state if they become a huge demographic, like projected, and what's going to happen, and who's going to work. So the documentarian was walking with Haredim Rosh Hashiva, and Rosh Hashiva was saying, look, you know, why would you want to work? It's a curse. V'zeata pecha tochalechem is a curse in the Torah. Why would you want to work? Like, we try to work we try to not do that as much as possible because it's a curse. Why would you want to be cursed? And they left it like that. So, and I remember watching, I'm like, if I was a documentarian, I would say, well, you know, it also says that there's another curse, that Chava gets cursed with childbirth being bizarre.
Yeah.
So maybe you shouldn't do that either. Like, what do you mean?
That's a good answer. Yeah.
It's a curse, you have to do it.
Yeah.
But, all right. Okay. But I really like that, Mark. Shkoyach. Okay. Continuing. Amar Chista Amar Avuka Ba Amil Amar Ukva, the last three lines. Amar Zakai Amar Lekal Shbarach Lenoch. Shem said to Noach, Noach, Noach. Lo'elachal Ilmod Me Adam Rishon Shelo Garam Lo'ela Yayin. Why didn't you learn from Adam Rishon? Because what happened to him happened because of wine. What's this assuming?
So
it was the wine that he used. Command Amar Oto Ilan Shachal Adam Rishon Gefen Haya. Titania raises its head. Rabbi Meir Omer Oto Ilan Shachal Adam Rishon Menu Gefen Haya. That's Rabbi Meir. There's nothing that brings wailing upon a person more than wine. Rabbi Huda Omer, Chita Haya. He says that it was grain, which is not a tree, but may have been at the time, or it may just be that, you know, we're misunderstanding what the tree is. She'ena Tinok Yodea Likro Abba V'ima Anshit Om Tam Dagan, because it has to do with knowledge. That when a child starts to have grain, it's when they start to talk. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, Te'ena Haya. Which is the Pashup Shat, that it was a fig tree. Why? Shividavar Shikilkalo, Bonit Kino. Shnemar Beitbiru Aleitena, because they grabbed the closest thing to them, which was the Aleitena. What's the fourth position, by the way, that's not recorded over here? The Atrog, right? And then there's a fifth one, which I think is in the Chasam Sofer, maybe in others, that it was all of them. That there was a fruit. Well, it's not surprising. There was a fruit that we don't have anymore that had qualities from all four of these fruits. It's pretty interesting. It's just not in this Breita that they're quoting. In the Gemara and Brachos it is, but it's not here. So this is so saying, you know, Noach, why didn't you pay attention to what happened to Adam Rishon and not drink it? Now, take a look at the sheet. So here's another fantastic Torah Chaim. Take a look at the sheet. This is great. Ah, you know, before we look at the sheet, look at Rashi. What does it mean? B'davar, I'm talking about the tamarim. Sorry, the teina. B'davar shenitkelu, bonitkenu. It's the last wide line of Rashi. midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'izemel shehu makebo hu merape. With the sword or the knife that he strikes with, he heals. Neis betoch neis. Kamo v'yetzet esh b'tzion, k'tiv ani ayelacha ne'um Hashem chomat esh saviv. So he uses fire for that. In other words, the point being that what Adam Rishon used to sin, he used for fixing it. That's how Rashi understands this.
What's an izemel? Izemel is a
knife.
Double knife?
Yeah. Like it was used for Shechita, I think. Okay, you're at 20% battery. So we'll see how long we get. So take a look at the Toras Chaim. This is the great Toras Chaim over here. V'davar shekil kulo bo nitkenu. He understands it differently. He says, L'fi pshuto mashma delav bo nitkenu michata'am kama ela bo nitkenu shelo hachurumim. Obviously, Pasha Pshat is like Rashi, that they healed their nakedness by doing this. But take a look. This is wild. All right. This is the first time I ever saw this. Ever saw this idea. But it's very, very interesting and very compelling. Not compelling, but it's an interesting thought. Odnir lefarish debo nitkenu michata'am kama. They fixed their actual sin. Now, how do you fix your sin with fig leaves? Fig branches. How do you fix it? Kedeita beperek osin pasin. Haya Rabbi Meir Omer. Adam Arishon Chasid Gadol Haya. Kevin Shoshin Iknisa Mita Al Yado Yashav Betanit Meash Veshloshim Shana. Upirish Mina Isha Meash Veshloshim Shana. Thehele Zarzei Teenim Al Bsaro Meash Veshloshim Shana. What did Adam Arishon do after he sinned? He sat in. He fasted for 130 years. He separated from his wife for 130 years, and he spent 130 years with zarzei teinim al b'saro. What is zarzei teinim? Like, I don't know if it's the thorns. I don't know if it's something sharp and something painful from the teinim. Pirush Rashi Zal zarzei teinim vayasu lahem chagurot mitargiminen va'avdu lahu zarzin mashma dehalad zarzei teinim al b'sar tsar ve'inui hagufu. It was a way of oppressing himself. It was a form of tshuva. That's what the Torah means. It wasn't just to cover themselves. That's what it means. It means that with the thing that they sinned, they used that to do tshuva, to afflict themselves.
But there's one problem with this. It says Hashem made them the belts, not that they made themselves.
No, Hashem made them clothing from skin. They made themselves
the
belts.
They made the belts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Hashem...
Vayas lahem chagurot. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, okay.
They made their own chagurot.
There's a sect of Christianity that believes that they should hurt themselves.
Yeah, I read the Da Vinci Code too. Yeah.
Right. So that's not quite our thing.
It is our thing.
Is it?
It was our thing for years and years and years. To this day, first of all, there's makot, right?
But makot is a punishment.
It is a punishment.
We don't punish ourselves. It's something.
But you certainly could. And
prescribed punishment.
It's called Shuvat HaMishkal, and it was practiced for centuries. You know, basically, it was very, very common. And to this day, Sfaradim, on Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur, I don't remember, they go through a ceremonious lashing. Like they lash each other.
In our house.
Like
that's actual, on a Tuesday.
Actual pain, though.
No, I don't think so. I think that the Sfaradim, what they do, so I think different. Is ceremonial.
But at a high level, from a modern perspective, does that seem hashkafically sound, that people should hurt themselves?
No, but we also think you shouldn't hit children. But that's new, you know.
Okay.
And sometimes
are you
I
sure,
wish.
Are you sure?
For sure. Look, lashes are. What's the problem? If you're supposed to lash somebody else to punish them, why would you not be?
It was prescribed. Why would not?
Yeah. There is a Tshuvat HaMishkal. The Kabbalists have not only the Kabbalists, but many of the Rishonim. They have actual prescribed forms of. If you do this sin, do this to yourself. If you do that sin, do that. 100%.
So I mean,
it's old. It's very old.
Sounds off hashkafically.
Why?
I don't know. I don't hear of any positive source saying that one should hurt themselves as a form of teshuvah.
Really? Somebody has a problem where they have a dieting problem, right? Isn't there a practice where like you put a rubber band on your wrist and then like you hit yourself?
So I don't know.
Or all kinds of things.
You know, that's like a Pavlovian concept. I don't know. Is there a fundamental concept that hurting oneself affects Teshuvah.
100%. Yeah. We don't do it anymore, but yes.
What's the basis?
Historically. I can't. I can find the sources. I would find the source pretty easily if I looked for it.
A Tanakhi source, a Gemara source. I mean,
so
not that people did it, but I mean, hashkafically, how does that fit?
I think I don't see the problem as much as you do. You're like, look, you know, it doesn't seem. Well, describe what the problem is.
My problem is that tshuva is defined. There are things that we have to do in order to get kapara. There are things that we have to do. Yuma talks about what we have to do to get kapara.
Okay.
So those things are the, I would think, exhaustive list of what you could do to get kapara.
Really? What about fasting?
Fasting is a prescribed concept that you know, it's a certain sort of inui.
It's an inui.
It's an inui.
Okay, it's so it's a specific type of inui.
Like you hurt, yeah. I mean, it hurts, you know, it makes you
it's an inui.
So somebody cuts off their finger. Did they do something?
I don't think they would cut off. I don't think they would cut. Although there are stories like that, actually.
But hopefully
no, there are stories like that.
Their parameters.
There are stories where people poke their eyes out.
Okay.
There are stories like that.
Yeah, Oedipus.
We don't do that. No, we have those stories, okay. Too. We have those stories.
Yeah, we
have stories of rabbis who they saw something they shouldn't have seen, and they were so shaken by it that he poked his eyes out.
Brachot, right?
I don't remember. But is that brachot?
But I guess is that many places that they did, but not necessarily we applaud them.
No. Well, I don't know. We applaud them, but they felt it was necessary, and I'm not sure that we.
I don't know if we
rise to the level of criticism of them.
Chavala, I mean, you can't hurt yourself.
You can't hurt yourself.
Certainly not the extent of poking your eyes out.
You really shouldn't.
What are you saying? Two different. I don't understand.
I
do not see a hashkafic basis for saying that we should do it, other than that some people did do it. But there are plenty of things that they did do that we would say.
No, but when I say they, I'm talking about halachic. From a halachic perspective, they did it. When I say, you know, you shouldn't afflict yourself, so maybe in this situation it's okay to afflict yourself. It's okay to make yourself bleed. Normally, you're right. It's not okay to make yourself bleed. But if it's for the sake of tshuva, so then why not?
Punishing somebody.
You're making a face because you don't think you could actually do anything for tshuva. But why do you think that? Why do you think?
Because we've defined.
What do you mean? Why do you think? The Rambam says that the way that to get around to do tshuva, okay, the way to get to tshuva is that you have to regret it. You have to be embarrassed about it. That's psychological inui. Why is it any less than physical inui?
Not for its own sake.
It's kind of for its own sake. You should think about it. Why don't we just forget it and get over it? Just say, I'm not going to do it again, and then just move forward. Why? Because it's not effective. What's effective is to feel bad about it, to be embarrassed about it. So what else could be effective? If you hit yourself, having in mind that you're hitting yourself because, you know, you shouldn't have done what you did. And you should associate that with pain, or because you want to get your punishment here and not in the next world. That's another thing.
Sure, and that's Pavlovian, and if you think that that's the effective way to get yourself to stop doing something, then sure, then that's the strategy that person can take. Fine, yeah. To get them to stop something. But
and another thing might be that they feel that if they get punished in this world, then they will get punished in the next world.
Okay, so that's another Ashkenazic concept, sure.
Yeah.
Okay,
fine, that
which fits in our Gemara with the Yayin.
I'm not even sure. I don't know if I can really say that. I mean, if we get Yisurin from Shamayim, then we say that maybe
we're
giving ourselves a chance in Olam Haba to get more.
Perfect, strength. So why can't I do it to myself?
Because that's not the concept. I mean,
why not?
But also, I mean, it sounds.
I'm saying there have been prescribed versions of this. How they came up with the prescriptions, I don't know for sure because I'm not interested. But they have basis. I don't know what the basis is.
What do they base it on? I mean,
I don't remember. I don't remember. They're very, very old. There's like a lot. We just don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. We've not been doing it for probably less than 200 years. I would say probably you go back 200 years, they probably were still doing it. Right. People used to. Yeah, for sure. People used to go in the snow and roll around in the snow. Yeah. Yeah. All kinds of things people used to do.
But now we're doing fun.
Yeah.
Remember,
and we box.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to the Chagorot, right?
Yeah.
This is why I was confused, because it's not so clear. It says that they realized that they were naked.
Yeah.
Vasul ba'asul lahem chagorot.
That's them. They made it themselves. And then what happens?
How's it?
Vasul lahem chagorot. And then vayishmu et kol Hashem. He's not even there yet.
Okay.
Vayasu lahem chagorot. They made.
But surely it would be vayasu la'atzmam chagorot. Vayasu lahem
vayasu lahem.
Okay, but lahem.
It's okay, biblical it's so Hebrew. It's not going to do everything that you want. But God's not even there yet.
No,
and what did he do for them? He makes them regular clothes. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I always say, like, I wouldn't have been able to make myself clothing from a fig tree.
I can't. You're just eating from the tree of knowledge, and you would be pretty.
Right, I guess.
Don't do anything. Don't do anything.
So anyway, so that's guys, basically what he says. He claims he wants to say that davar shekilku lebonit kenu, that it doesn't just mean that they dressed themselves with it, but they actually afflicted themselves.
130 years? What's 130 years?
I don't know. You have to look up the Gemara to see what people like the Maharsha and them say. I don't know. But I thought that was a really fascinating understanding of this Gemara. And of the Psukim in the end. So, as David said, it's 6 minutes to ten. I'm happy to keep going and finish the Gemara. Mara is at ten, but I don't think we'll make it anyways, even if we left right now. So, let's just keep going. So, let's find out about Lemuel. Who's Lemuel?
I've lost my
memory. Divrei Lemuel. Melech Masa. So I'll give you a hint. It's a pasuk in Mishlei.
That's pretty Shlomo then.
Yeah. So Divrei Lemuel, Melech Masa, Sheyisarto Imo. So this is about Lemuel, the king of... the words of King Lemuel, what's Masa? The prophecy with which... Okay. Masa is prophecy. That his mother admonished him, she afflicted him with. Okay. So this is about apparently about Shlomo and his mother, right? Now, poetically it is, but we're going to read it al pipshat, that it's talking about Shlomo and his mother. So this gets a little weird. So Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yishuv Bar Yochai. Melamed shekfato imo al hamud. She shoved him up against the pillar. V'amar lo, this is Batsheva doing to her son Shlomo, because he was misbehaving apparently. Rashi says because he was running around with other people and drinking, and he got into a bad crowd. And she yelled at him, Amar lo, ma beri ma bar bitni. This is the psukim over there in that parak. Ma beri ma bitni, uma bar nidri, uma bar nidri. That's this psuk, nidarai. So, ma beri, hakol yodim shavicha yari shamayim hava. She said, you know, everybody knows that David HaMelech was a yari shamayim. And he didn't drink. Achshav yomru, imu garmalo. So now people are going to look at you, they're going to see you misbehaving, they're going to say, ah, he gets it from her. Uma barbitni, kol anashim shel beit avicha, kevin shemitabrot shuv inan ra'ot pnei ha-melech. Vani dachachti v'nechnasti kidei sheheli ben mezuraz umuluban. Right, we need a doctor for this one. It says, all the other women that David, that your father was with and had babies with, so the moment they became pregnant, so they left, you know, they stayed away from David. There was no reason to be with him anymore. But I, when I was pregnant with you, I slept with them many times. Why? Because it's good for the fetus. It means that the fetus becomes strong and healthy. I don't know whether medical knowledge confirms this or denies this. I have no idea. But she's basically saying, you know, I was concerned for you, so I stayed with him. Uma, and you're ruining it now. Uma bar nidarai kol nashim shel beit avicha yu nodroti heili ben agun l'malchut vanina darti v'amarati l'heili ben zeriz u'memela b'torah v'agun l'neviut. All the other women, they prayed, they davened to Hashem, and they took nidarim so that their kids should be fit for the kingship. But I just wanted somebody who would be full of nevuah and who would be full of Torah. So she chastised him, and she was yelling at him. Allah malachim Lemuel, Allah malachim shatu yain, Allah malachim. You get away from these kings who drink wine. Amelo malach ha'etzel malachim sheshotim yain u'mishtakrim. Why are you with the kings who get drunk? V'amrim lamalanu al, lamalanu el. He says, Lemuel is lamalanu el. Why do we need God? That's what the kings were saying. Uluraznim e sheikhar, uluraznim e sheikhar. And to those who have secrets, where is their beer? Mi shekol raze olam guluyim lo. You have all of the secrets are open to you. Yish deyayin vishtaker. You're going to drink and get drunk. Yigadami mi shekol rozne olam mashkim la pitcho yish deyayin vishtaker. People who, everybody wakes up to come to you. You're going to get drunk. Amar v'yosek minayin shechazer shlomo v'hodol yimo. How do we know that Shlomo basically agreed with her? Ki bar anochi me'ish v'lo binat adam li. Ki ba'ar anochi me'ish minoach, tachti v'yachal noach ish adama. She said, I'm worse than the ish adama of Noach. V'lobinat adam li is ze adam rishon, because it says adam, right? And I have no wisdom of man. The next part of the Gemara, I'll just say it outside, It talks about how the Mishnah said that if you eat in a chabur of a mitzvah, then you can't be a Betzara Mora. Remember we saw that in the Mishnah? So he explains, because if there's even one person there, sorry, if you what you're doing is for the sake of a mitzvah, then perhaps the mitzvah will draw you back to being a good person. You won't end up being a Betzara Mora. And it also says if even one person over there is involved in mitzvot, then maybe that person will bring you back. So it's only for people who are not good. Okay, the Gemara goes on like that. I did want to do just one last thing. This Ben Yoyada on the Gemara with Shlomo and his mother. If you look at the sources.
Who is the Ben Yoyada?
Someone's Friday. I remember. So he says, Achshav yom ro'imo garmulo. V'yodeh besadeh d'shmaya ma betulim zeh inyan shol yayin ba. What he's saying? V'yadua de bat sheva hita chava. Ah, right. Right, so, mashtulim zeh inyan shol yayin ba. Why are we talking about wine and bat sheva? What does it have to do with anything? So he says, V'yadua bat sheva hita chava. Bat sheva was a gilgul of chava. And David HaMelech, Adam Rishon. And David was a Gilgul of Adam Rishon. Now, this is hard for me to understand because we're all Gilgulim of Adam Rishon. Aren't we? Or I would think. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But okay, whatever. Avachaya Sachta Anavim. And what happened? Avachava Sachta Anavim. Medrash says that if it was wine, did she feed him grapes? No. She fed him wine. She squeezed it into wine. V'chshila at Adam Rishon b'yayin. V'lachin omrim imo shel kilkel abo'oto gilgul b'yayin gama lo lekalkel ata b'yayin. They're going to say, I did the same thing to your father that Chava did to Adam Rishon. V'yayin tzarech lomer tevat achshav mara'a l'shlo b'zeh. Nearly desat t'shmai ki mikodem sh'ayas sonim avicha efshol esonetem imo yitlubo. Just like, basically what she ends up saying is that just like everybody's angry at Chava and not Adam, so they're going to be angry at me. Because, you know, Chava was the one that caused it, so they're going to think that it was all me that caused all of this to happen. Okay. Okay, you know what? Okay, look at the other column. This is interesting. Avin lama bachal kota al amud. Why did she push him up against an amud, a pillar? Nearly, al pi midrash mishle. The midrash says the itay ayom nitkarev tamid shal shachar shba arba shaot keitzad asta bat paro kamin sedin v'kava bo tzurat kochavim umazalot upersha oto lamala mimetati. There was a day when the tamid shal shachar did not get brought in the proper time. It was the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash. And the Tamid Shal Shachar didn't get brought at the proper time. Why? Because he'd married Bat Paro, and she put a sheet across the ceiling, which was basically a sheet that was covered in pictures of stars and the moon, and it completely blacked out the room.
And when it was Shlomo's room.
Yeah, and when he woke up in the morning,
he thought it was night.
He thought it was still night, so he missed it. He kept seeing the stars. And he had the keys. Imagine David slept late, and he had the keys, and nobody can get into the Beit HaMikdash. Nobody would come in. And who? Nobody would go into the room except only one person. One person had the chutzpah to jump into the room. His mother banged on the door. It was late. She did it through magic. That's what Bat Paro did. She was trying to hint to him the three amudim. Omer al Torah v'alavod v'algmilut chasadim. V'atabi tata yom amud echad shel avoda. You ruined the pillar of avoda. Beit HaMikdash. Shenitakev al arba shaot nimsa chatat. That's why she pushed him up against the amud, because she was trying to hit him.
So he was already the king when she grabbed him.
Yeah, you're saying you were messing with other kings. Yeah, the context over here is that he's messing around with other kings. All right.
Yafeh.
Shkoyach, if anybody's still watching, good night. No idea.
That's amazing.
Rabbi, can you drop me a tissue, please?
Yeah, sure.
I've got another chavruta now.
Sure.
With, in Klotnik.